Worship team, thank you so much for leading us so well tonight. Fusion, good to be with you. My name is Bo. Glad you guys are all here tonight. I'm the lead pastor of our Fusion community, and such a joy to get to worship and hang out with you guys. Hey, before we get to our message tonight, want to just give a little honor. We got a special guest in the house. Do you guys welcome Pastor Dale Jenkins with me? Pastor Dale pastors a church out in North Carolina, and he and his wife Carrie were the youth pastors of my wife Blake as she was growing up, as she was a teenager, and really they led her to her relationship with Jesus and really discipled her. And then as Blake and I started dating and we got engaged and got married, Pastor Dale really became a pastor in my life. He's just one of those people that I turn to for wisdom and counsel. There is kind of a collection of people, women and men, who are pastors in my life, and Dale is absolutely counted among them. If there's anything wise or profound that I've said, I probably heard it. He probably said it to me, or he said it to somebody else, and I took it, and now it's mine, you know? So welcome, Pastor Dale. We're so glad that you are here with us tonight. Well, hey, grab your bulletin, which hopefully you got on your way in the door. We come tonight to our final week of the series, The Power of Simple Words. And in this unbelievable series, we've been looking at some of the most simple yet significant words that when we understand them in the context of Jesus, of who Jesus is and what Jesus has done in our lives, they can result in powerful change in our lives. We've looked over the course of this series at the words no, and the words yes, sorry, enough, and help. And tonight, we're going to end by looking at the word thanks. Everybody say thanks.
Thanks.
See, gratitude is not something that we are born with. We don't arrive thankful people. I've been present for the birth of all three of my children. Not one of them came out and said, "Mother, thank you for all that you did to carry me and to deliver me into this world." And not one of them have yet said to me, "Father, thank you for the work that you do to keep a roof over our head and put food on our table and for paying the Netflix subscription for all the Mickey Mouse that we want to watch." Like, not yet. Not yet have they done this. We are born takers. And we are born selfish. And it is a parent's job to teach children gratitude. As a father of these three little sinners that I love so much, I believe one of the most important things that I can do is teach my children gratitude, teach them to be thankful, and especially to teach them to be thankful to God, because everything that we have ultimately comes from Him.
Amen.
Look, ingratitude has been a human problem since the beginning. It was around at the original sin with Adam and Eve in the garden. You see, God gave Adam and Eve everything they could need. The garden was paradise. It was perfect. God Himself even enjoyed walking through it because it was just such a perfect paradise that He created. And then the snake shows up and he convinces humanity that what they have isn't enough. But what if Adam and Eve had entered that conversation with an attitude of gratitude? What if the serpent showed up and said, "Hey, listen, eat this fruit and I'll show you everything that God has been holding out on you, everything He's been keeping from you." What if Adam and Eve had approached that conversation and said, "Are you kidding me? Look at this place. In fact, snake, let me take you on a tour. Slither along with me. Let me show you everything that I am thankful for that my God has given me." How different would that story be if gratitude had been present in the garden that day? You see, I think gratitude changes everything. And tonight we're going to talk about what that can look like in our lives. Would you pray with me? So, Lord, we are so grateful, Lord, for this place. We thank you for something that we take for granted so often, Lord, that we can gather together and worship you.
Amen.
We thank you for that, Jesus. And Lord, I pray now that as we turn to your word, would you speak to us? God, I thank you for your word. I thank you that it is alive and that it is active, that when we read it and we apply it to our lives by the help of your Holy Spirit, we are a changed people. Would you change us tonight, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. In your bulletin, you'll find some passages we're going to read, and we're going to mainly focus on a story from John chapter 6. It's going to be in your bulletin. It will also be up on the screen. Here's what it says in John 6. After this, Jesus crossed the Sea of Galilee, or Tiberias. A huge crowd was following him because they saw the signs that he was performing by healing the sick. Jesus went up a mountain and sat down there with his disciples. Now the Passover, a Jewish festival, was near. So when Jesus looked up and noticed a huge crowd coming toward him, he asked Philip, "Where will we buy bread so that these people can eat?" He asked this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread wouldn't be enough for each of them to have a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they for so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, so they sat down. The men numbered about 5,000. Then Jesus took the loaves, and after giving thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also with the fish, as much as they wanted. So when they were full, he told the disciples, "Collect the leftovers so that nothing is wasted." So they collected them and filled 12 baskets with pieces from the 5 barley loaves that were left over by those who had eaten. When the people saw the sign he had done, they said, "This truly is the prophet who is to come into the world." Therefore, when Jesus realized they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he withdrew again to a mountain by himself. I love this story. I love that once again, we find Jesus being interrupted for the sake of people. Remember, a couple weeks ago, we talked about Zacchaeus and how Jesus was always willing to be interrupted for the sake of the person God had in his path. In fact, I had a situation this week where I was going from meeting to meeting. My day was actually over. I was about to go home, and I was interrupted for the sake of a person. I had a conversation I wasn't expecting. I was like, "Oh, all right, let me go and do this." I went and I talked to this person because they needed some pastoral counsel. And when I came back, I was actually talking to Jake, one of our pastors on staff. And Jake said with me, "You know, but what if we stop thinking about these as interruptions and started thinking about them as redirections, like God is redirecting us to something new?" And I was like, "Jake, that's why you're one of my pastors. You keep that wisdom coming, dog, because I need that in my life," right? So Jesus, here once again, he is redirected for the sake of the people that God has in his path. He sees this huge crowd coming toward him. The Bible tells us the men were about 5,000 in that crowd. You count in women, you count in children. This crowd is between 15 and 20,000 people coming at Jesus. So he looks and he sees this small stadium worth of people coming at him. And he says to his disciples, "Hey, they look hungry. Who's going to Taco Bell to buy some food for these people?" And Philip immediately sees the problem. Philip says, "Listen, Jesus, 8 months worth of paychecks wouldn't even buy enough for everybody here to even have a bite of food. There's not enough money. There's not enough food for all of these people." Andrew, however, has a small but significant observation. He says, "Well, what we do have is these 5 barley loaves and these 2 fish, and they don't seem like much, but it's what we have." And Jesus, I believe, smiles because Andrew gets something. In fact, number one, write this down. Every circumstance is an opportunity for gratitude. Every circumstance is an opportunity for gratitude. You see, where Philip saw scarcity, Andrew sees possibility. Andrew knew that what they had wasn't much, but man, he was glad that they had it. See, the circumstances that the disciples, they found themselves in, they didn't seem like one where somebody should give thanks, where somebody should be grateful for what is there. But circumstances should not determine outlook, Fusion. Your circumstances should not determine the outlook that you choose to have. Because, you know, there are facts and then there is truth. You're like, "Bo, that doesn't make any sense." No, think about it. The facts, right? There's lots of people. There's a small amount of food. Those are the facts. But then there is the truth. Everything we have comes from God. Our God always provides for our needs. Our God has the cattle on a thousand hills. Every situation is an opportunity for us to thank God for what we have. And that's what I love about God. There are times when the truth of who He is flies in the face of the facts of our circumstances. Things might be hard. There might be facts like that in your life, but the truth is God is for you, Fusion. And that is an opportunity to give thanks. This is how Jesus lived His life. Jesus thanked God in what seems like the oddest of moments sometimes. For example, one of His friends had passed away, was dead, buried in a tomb. And standing at the tomb of his dead friend, look at what Jesus says in John chapter 11. It says, so they removed the stone. Then Jesus raised His eyes and said, Father, I thank You that You heard me. I know that You always hear me, but because of the crowd standing here, I said this so that they may believe You sent me. After He said this, He shouted with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. And the dead man came out bound hand and foot with linen strips and with his face wrapped in a cloth. And Jesus said to them, unwrap him and let him go free. See, Jesus' friend was dead, buried in a tomb. No miracle had taken place here. There was no miracle yet. And what does Jesus pray? Father, thank You that You hear me. Fusion, when was the last time you prayed that prayer in a hard circumstance? When you get horrible news, Father, thank You that You hear me. In the wake of a broken heart, Father, thank You that You hear me. When the job is lost, Father, thank You that You hear me. When the marriage, when the relationship falls apart before Your eyes, Father, thank You that You hear me. You see, it doesn't matter the circumstances that we face. There is a moment and an opportunity for us to thank God for what we have. The Bible will tell us, give thanks at all times, in all seasons. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. Rejoice always. Pray constantly, give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. It says, give thanks in everything. This word everything in the Greek, it does not mean moments of great prosperity and happiness in your life. It doesn't mean give thanks in happy moments and happy things. This word is defined as each and every, any, all, the whole, everyone, all things, everything's, meaning give thanks in each situation. Give thanks in every situation. Give thanks in any situation. Give thanks in all situations. Give thanks for the whole situation. Give thanks for everyone involved in the situation. How's that, Fusion? Give thanks for everyone involved. Give thanks for all things. Give thanks in everything. But how? Like, this sounds good, right? You're like, Bo, that's really easy to preach. But what about the really hard situations? How can you seriously tell me right now to give thanks in hard situations? In situations that are scary? In situations that seem like there's no good to be found here, there's no hope to be found in this moment? How can you really tell me to give thanks? Well, listen, I am convinced that gratitude and that thanks, I think that they do include happiness in our lives, but I think it's so much deeper than that. Thanks and gratitude, they're not just about being happy in a situation. See, it involves a soul-level satisfaction that is centered on this truth. I stand on unshakable ground. I stand on unshakable ground. Look at Hebrews 12. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful. By it we may serve God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. If you are in Christ, Fusion, if you are a follower of Jesus, then God is establishing in you and through you a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Last month, we had some earthquakes here in Los Angeles. And earthquakes are one of the weirdest experiences that we can have, because not only do the walls and the pictures and all the stuff around us shake, but the ground shakes. And if you're not from LA and you experience one, you're like, what is happening right now? It's one of the most bizarre feelings, because the ground is the most stable thing that we have. And sometimes that moves. And that is so weird. Listen, Fusion, there are no earthquakes in God's kingdom. It is sturdy and it is stable. Things around you might shake. The world around you will certainly shake. But the foundation that your life is built on, it will not shake. And because of that, every circumstance is an opportunity to thank God for what he has done, what he has given you, and for this stable kingdom he has established in your life that you get to now stand on. So whatever the circumstances, we can thank God. We can thank him, because in our God alone, we find a foundation to stand on that is stable and that is secure. Number two, you can write this down. I believe gratitude takes you far. Ingratitude keeps you stuck. I believe gratitude will take you far and ingratitude will keep you stuck. Don't point at them, but do any of you know somebody who seriously lacks gratitude? I said don't point, you guys. That's not cool. Like, do you know anybody whose primary language is complaint? It's comparison. It's like how bad things are. It's like, hey, man, how are you today? Psh. They always start with that. It's like, that's not a good way to start a conversation. Psh. Got to go to work. Boss scheduled me again, jerk. It's like, isn't that a good thing that you have a job to go to? It's like, hey, man, how are you? Ugh. I just paid rent. Most of my money's gone now because I just paid rent. Like, isn't that a good thing that you have a roof over your head and you can pay rent to stay in that house, that apartment that you are in? Like, no one wants to hang out with Eeyore, right? Things are fine. Like, no one wants to hang out with that person. You see, people lacking gratitude, they never seem to move forward in life. They're always in the same place. This place of grumbling, of complaining, with an attitude and with an outlook that is always searching for what they do not have. You see, Philip in this story in John 6, Philip's perspective and attitude would have seen hungry people stuck in their hunger. No one gets fed with Philip's perspective. Andrew's perspective, however, helps those people move forward to the blessing that God wanted to give them and accomplish in their lives. If Philip had had his way, this story would have been much shorter and probably not in our Bible. It would have gone like this. One day, a huge crowd followed Jesus. They were hungry, so they went home. The end. Like, it's hard to preach that story. I'm so grateful for this story that we have, right? That's not the story we have. We have a story that sees hungry people experience the miracle that God wanted them to experience in their lives. And that happened because Andrew knew that what they had wasn't a lot, but he was sure grateful that they had it, and he brought it to Jesus. You see, when we choose gratitude, we move forward. And I believe we move forward into what God has for us. Look at Psalm 100, verses 3 through 5. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us, and we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good, and his faithful love endures forever, his faithfulness through all generations. Look, giving thanks, it is part of entering into God's gates. into his temple, into his presence. And isn't that so true? Don't you recognize how that's true even for us as a community? Isn't there something so powerful fusion about when we come together and we worship God and we thank him for who he is, that we as a community are moved into his presence. We are moved into his goodness as we thank him for who he is and what he has done. Ingratitude will always leave you right where you are. Discouraged, disappointed, let down, wishing it was better, wishing it was different than it is. But gratitude moves you forward into God's presence and into his plan for your life, Fusion. Finally, number three, I believe gratitude sees blessings multiplied in your life. Gratitude sees blessings multiplied in your life. Jesus gives thanks in this story for very ordinary bread. Barley was like very unimpressive bread at this time. The fish that were brought to Jesus, they were not king salmon that were just caught in the ocean earlier, okay? These are like small little oily, probably sardine-like fish. They're probably even pickled. This meal was not a miracle when it was brought to Jesus. This meal was not some blessing. This meal is broke people food. Do you guys have broke meals like that you go to when like the restaurant budget and the grocery budget is gone for the month? And you're like, all right, time for some broke meals. Like I have one. It's called Ceci Spaghetti. It was invented by a woman from El Paso who raised five boys on a shoestring budget. And Ceci Spaghetti is a can of tomato sauce dumped into a pot, followed by two cans of water into that same pot, season it with some salt and pepper. Put that over some cooked pasta. If you have it, put some sprinkled cheese on there. Broke people food, okay? I eat Ceci Spaghetti like three times a week, okay? I love it. It's an absolute blessing in my life. This is a broke meal. And yet, in the hands of Jesus, the ordinary becomes a blessing. And it begins when Jesus gives thanks for it. You see, thanking God for what he had was the entrance into the miracle that saw this little meal multiplied so 20,000 people could have more than enough. You see, I don't know about you, but I would have waited to give thanks until after the miracle. I would have waited until after the blessing. Like, oh man, Jesus, thank you so much for that blessing you just did, for that miracle you just performed. And isn't that so common in our lives? I will wait to give thanks until after the hard situation is resolved. Until after the healing comes. Until after the check arrives. Until after the broken heart is mended. Until after I have for sure found the person I am going to marry. But Jesus teaches us to give thanks for what we have right now. And when we do that, our eyes are open to how much it really is, Fusion. I can be so tempted in my life to focus on what I don't have. On the money that I don't have, on the cars that I don't have, on the vacations that I don't take, on the influence that I don't have. But when I give thanks to God for what I do have, my eyes are opened to the blessings that are in my life. When I thank God for my wife, Blake, suddenly my eyes are open to the unbelievable blessing that my wife is in my life. When I thank God for my children, when I don't just focus on the things that they do that annoy me or that bother me or how early they wake up, when I thank God for them, my eyes are opened to the blessing that they are to me. Fusion, when I thank God for you, the blessing that you are is opened up to me. And I know there's not a place in the world I would rather be doing ministry than right here with you right now because you are a blessing to me in my life, Fusion. When I thank God, my minivan becomes a blessing to me. I drive a used minivan, Fusion. And yet, when I thank God for it, man, are there cars I'd rather drive? Maybe. Yes, absolutely. But my minivan becomes a blessing to me when I say, God, thank you for a vehicle I can put my entire family in and drive somewhere together. fusion. Thank God for what you have and watch the blessings in your life become multiplied before your eyes. And look, this is not some vending machine theology. I don't believe that. I don't preach that. I'm not saying you put in your quarter of thanks and God gives you that car that you've always wanted. That's not what I'm saying happens here. Instead, it's about perspective. It's about trusting that in the hands of Jesus, what you have is enough. But this is hard to do. And I think it's hard because if we're really honest, sometimes we can get suspicious of God. Like, I don't know about you, but sometimes I can let myself get to a place where I think God is just like making it up as he goes. He's just like deciding in the moment what's going to happen. You can always tell when someone's decide like making it up as they go, right? Pastors do this. We don't have like a real pulpit here, but you can always tell the church when a pastor's going to make it up as he goes because they leave their notes and they come in, they stand on the front and they always lean. They do this. If a pastor does this, you're like, where are we going right now? Like you are completely making it up as you go. My daughter Austin is real big into making it up as she goes. Lately, she's been really into telling jokes. But the thing is, she doesn't know any jokes and she doesn't know how jokes work. So she'll start one, and you can tell, man, she's just winging it. Like the other day, she's like, Dad, I have a joke. I'm like, all right, baby, let's hear this joke. She goes, how do monkeys go poop? And I'm like, okay, first of all, poop is like the lowest form of humor, Austin, but I'll play along. How do they do that? She's like, on a banana. And I'm like, and then she always follows it with, Dad, I didn't hear you laugh. It's like, it's because it wasn't funny, baby, but like making it up as she goes. I think sometimes we think Jesus is just making it up as he goes with us in our lives. Like we hit a situation and he's deciding in the moment, like, all right, am I going to bless them in this moment? Am I going to come through for them in this moment? If I write that check, do I have enough in my account? Like, do I have enough to bless them in this moment? But listen, you need to know, Fusion, Jesus does not make it up as he goes. It tells us in this story that before he ever asked the question, he already knew what he was going to do. Before he asked the question about who's going to buy food for these people, he already knew the miracle he was going to perform in your life, in their lives. Fusion, you need to know Jesus is not making it up as he goes with you. He knows the plans that he has for you, and they are good. He knows the life that he has for you. The Bible tells us it is life abundant. It is more than enough. He already knows what he wants to do in your life. And I'm not sitting here saying he already knows that he's gonna make you rich. He already knows he's gonna give you all the material stuff that you want. But he knows the life that you were created to live. And he is not making it up as he goes. He already sees the blessings he wants to bring your way. He already sees the miracles he wants to do in your life. Fusion. Jesus knows what he's going to do before he ever asks the question. He is not making it up as he goes. And in the hands of Jesus, 5 loaves and 2 fish are enough. In the hands of Jesus, your situation, Fusion, it is enough. In the hands of Jesus, your situation is a blessing to you. And it's intended to be a blessing to others as well. So give thanks to God for what you have and watch his blessings multiply in your life before your eyes. Give thanks in every situation. Give thanks in all things. Know that as you choose an attitude of gratitude, you are going to be moved forward in your life into the plans and the blessings that he has. And as you choose to give thanks, Fusion, you're going to become more and more aware of the blessings that God has for you in your life. And ultimately, we have to be reminded that the greatest blessing that God has for us is Jesus. Who he is. What he has done for you. Fusion, how he loves you. That is a blessing in your life. His pursuing love of you is a blessing in your life. You see, Jesus, He broke and he multiplied those five loaves of bread. But a little later on in that same chapter, he would make something very, very clear. It's not about barley bread. It's not about fish. It's not about the stuff in your life. See, Jesus would go on in that chapter to say that he is the real blessing that is available to us. And Alex, you can join me up here. We'll close in a moment. Look at John 6, verses 48 to 51. You have to remember, his disciples, in their mind, they have the picture of Jesus breaking bread. They see him breaking bread and multiplying it to be a blessing to everybody present in that place. And with that picture in their minds, look at what Jesus says. He says, "I am the bread of life. Your ancestors, they ate manna in the wilderness, and yeah, they were filled for a little bit, but they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that anyone may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. The bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." You see, where once Jesus broke some barley bread and multiplied it to be a blessing to other people who were there present in that place, to the people who would receive it, just a little while later, Jesus would allow himself to be broken for you and for me. And by being broken on that cross, Jesus, he made a way for you to be forgiven, for you to be redeemed, for you to be healed, for you to be made right with God. You want to talk about blessing in your life? Try just truly giving Jesus thanks for what he did for you on the cross and watch what Jesus does for you in your life. Fusion is not about stuff. It's not about money. It's not about cars. It's not about clothes. It's not about meals. It's not about houses. Yes, God provides that stuff for us. It is such a blessing and a gift in our lives. But the real goal of all of this is to be moved to a place of gratitude to Jesus. Because Fusion, he loves you so much. He loves you so much that when you were dead in your sins, he allowed himself to be broken so that you could be made alive in him. When you were an enemy of God, he allowed himself to be broken so that you could have peace made with your Creator. When you were still a sinner, he loved you so much that he came and he allowed himself to be broken so that you could be forgiven by God. And Fusion, that is a blessing in your life. And I want to encourage you tonight. I want to challenge you tonight. Give him thanks. Give him praise. Not for the stuff he has given you, but for what he has done for you. For who he is in your life. Would you bow your heads with me? I want to first of all give you a moment as you look at your life, as you look at the various circumstances, both the things that are great in your life and the things that seem really hard in your life. I want to just ask you for this moment, Fusion. Do you need to thank him for anything in those situations? For the blessings he has brought you? Give him thanks. For the hard things he has already seen you through, give him thanks. And even for the hard things that you are currently going through, I want to encourage you, Fusion, to give him thanks because he is working something out in you. He is developing you. He is building his character in you through this. He has a plan to see you through this. You are not abandoned in that situation. Give him thanks that you are not just adrift at sea, but instead he sees you. He knows where you are. He has a plan to rescue you from that situation. He is not going to abandon you. He's not going to forsake you in that situation. Give him thanks for that. And even now, I just wonder, is there anybody in this room, you've never believed what he did for you on the cross. You've never asked him to forgive you of your sins. You've never thanked him for what he did on the cross. If that's you and you're in this place with every head bowed and every eye closed and you want to say yes to Jesus, you want to thank him for the work he did on the cross for you for the very first time, would you just raise your hand in the air right now so I can just acknowledge that with you? Good. Yep, I see that hand right there. Good. Yes. Those hands, that hand, absolutely. If your hand is up right now, you need to say thank you to God because you were dead in your sins and he has made you alive. You were separated from God and he has brought you near. He has a plan and a purpose. He is going to work out in your life and you need to thank him for that because that is good news. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for these multiple people in this room who are saying yes to you for the very first time, who are joining the family of God. Jesus, we thank you for your saving work in their lives. We give you praise for that, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, can we thank God together for the people in this room? Yeah. And now, Fusion, would you stand with me? We're going to worship God together one more time. And as we do, I want to encourage you to give him thanks for who he is and what he has done in your life. Alex, will you lead us?